I tried to do a lot of things that worked for other people where it was like, okay, I'll follow this strategy or I'll, and I was trying to figure out some sort of secret code that if I cracked the code, I would get a client, like that's
Right.
what it felt like. And I was trying to take like all the right actions. And of course, none of those actions worked. Like they would lead to sales calls that were really awkward and just like people who weren't a match and it just wasn't fun at all. And then I remember one time I just like surrendered because it wasn't working. And I was like, you know what? If I didn't have a coach telling me what to do, like if I was just like, if I was to just feel into the way that I want to do it, how would I do it? And I realized that the instinct was, well, manifesting. Like every bit of success you've created so far in your life was manifestation and energy. So why not do that in your business? And a week later, I had a 15K day and signed my first three clients all in one day. And it was like, oh, okay. So this is how I'm onto something here. Like this is how I want to be doing business, and I'm sure there's lots of other people like me too.
Welcome to the Higher Self Activation Podcast. My name is Ligia, and I'm here to help you find trust, let go of control, and see more aligned results with less hustle. We will bring the cosmos and multidimensional consciousness into the here and now, making energy tangible and easy to understand. Now let's get started with today's episode. So today, I'm so excited to have Quinn with us. And Quinn is a soul sister that I found again in this lifetime in this crazy online space. And she's an amazing intuitive guide and soul success coach. And her story, like you already know, you already heard, is going to blow your mind. So first of all, welcome, Quinn. And thank you so much for hanging out with us in the Higher Self Activation.
Thank you so much. It's so wonderful to be here.
I'm so excited, and you guys will hear frogs and birds and geckos because I'm outside in Bali. See, just one right
I did.
Now.
I heard that one. I heard him.
I'm not going to edit this out so you can feel in Bali with me. And we set the tone.
Yes. Oh my God. All
awesome.
The Bali vibes.
All the Bali vibes. And which is perfect because we're here to talk about energy. And if you're listening to this, this is what we're all about. And we like to make energy tangible. So that's the thing and why I love this podcast so much, because it is about energy. It is about the quantum field and all the woo-woo. But how do we make it practical and how do we actually bring it to your physical experience, right? So you
Yes.
hear about energy work, manifestation, frequency. So this episode, I'm really excited to explore what that actually looks like to grow a soul, a successful soul and intuition-led business. You guys, Quinn made 32K in the first 4 months of her coaching business, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah.
With no strategy, no funnel, no mailing list, no shiny marketing secret sauce thing, and relying on energy, manifestation, and spirituality, which is
absolutely
amazing. So take us to the beginning. So you decide to start your coaching business. So
yeah,
how did you start and what was going on?
This was quite an incredible stage of my life. So I was just finishing up my master's degree in counseling psychology, actually, at the time that I started my coaching business. And I was at a stage in my degree where I had already completed all of the coursework, like all of the classes. I had a 4.0 GPA. I was doing very well. And the next stage in the degree was to do an internship where I was being trained to be a registered clinical therapist. And what I discovered through this experience was that that was actually not my calling. That was not for me. And the reason I knew this was because, during these internships, my intuition would start to kick in. And I had this instinct to help people and hold space for people. And when I would get into this magical zone and start holding space for people, I was actually getting critiqued and told to be more stoic, like more clinical, more like don't be so connected to the clients. Like, you got to keep your distance and you got to do it this way. And it was starting to become very stressful for me because I was getting the message from my schooling that essentially my gifts and the way that I'm here to hold space for people was not wanted in the clinical psychology world. And try as I might, like I wanted to finish this internship just to get it over with, you know, just to see the degree right through to the very last ending point. Like I, to me, everything I start, I always finish. But no matter what I did, you know, it was like 1,000 walls were coming up and I couldn't seem to finish this internship. Like, you know, just an example, like the landlord of the building where I was doing the internship didn't want me doing my internship anymore. And then my supervisor, there were complications with her, so I had to find another one. And then there were complications with her, so I had to find another one. And then my city had run out of, like, there were no therapists left who wanted to take on interns. So I was kind of at this fork in the road where I could either hire a business mentor and start life coaching, which was this huge dream of mine for years, or I could keep going with the internship just to say that I finished it just for the sake of finishing it, even though I didn't enjoy it and it wasn't really even working out in any way. So I went with hiring a business mentor for a $20,000 investment, which at the time was a very big leap, because I had already invested $40,000 in this degree. We were living in poverty, essentially, like living in a very, you know, low income neighborhood, barely making ends meet. We just had some money from our wedding and credit cards. And I was like, I just knew that this was the direction for me. I could feel it in my heart, my soul, my bones. Like I just knew this was the work that I was meant to do. So I did. I hired a $20,000 business mentor. And she was an intuitive business mentor. So that was why I chose to go in that direction, because I did feel very much that I had an intuitive gift of some sort, that I was very open and spiritual and intuitive by nature. And I wanted to cultivate that and really understand that. So my journey began with the coaching and with learning what my intuitive gifts were and how they worked. And this was actually pretty new for me, was this world of energy. You know, I was always manifesting all my life just kind of by default. And I was aware of the fact that I was able to manifest very well. But other than the law of attraction, I really didn't know what manifesting was. You know, I didn't really see the bigger picture outside of just the law of attraction. You know, like the idea of my own energy and my own gifts was all foreign. So it was a lot of exploring that. But then there was also a lot of this noise around wanting to make sales fast and following certain strategies and making sure that I presented myself a certain way and said the right things and presented myself as an authority in the online space. And all of this pressure to essentially fit some sort of mold that wasn't me really wasn't working. And I got to a stage where, you know, it was 3 months into my mentorship with my business coach and I still had not signed my first client. And, you know, I was kind of having this moment where I just was overwhelmed and just kind of needed to surrender and ask myself, okay, again, you know, we can keep going on this path of just doing what everyone is telling me I need to do because this is what will work, because this is what's going to create success. Or I can stop and listen to my heart and ask myself, how would I want to do this? You know, if I didn't have a business coach guiding me in a certain direction, and if I didn't have a lot of noise in my head around what I should do, what would I do? And I knew in that moment, it was clear as day an answer. It was like, well, the way I've always envisioned starting my own life coaching business was to just simply manifest clients and use the business as sort of like an avenue through which my energy is presented and allowed to be at its most magnetic and to manifest clients through the business. And so I decided to try that, you know, okay, let's try that this week. What if I just embodied within my knowing that I already have, and I'm not even kidding, I had said before this week began, 3 clients. And what if I knew that I was going to sign these 3 clients by the end of the week and that most of them are going to pay in full? And at the time, this was impossible to imagine actually having happen. But I decided to just cultivate an inner knowing and to embody that feeling that it was already there, that I already had it, that it was just kind of common sense that I would have that. And at the end of the week, that's exactly what happened. I signed 3 clients in that day. I had my first 15K day and that blew me away. And it was just the way that it had manifested so to a T, exactly what I had set the intention for, you know, like 3 clients. End of the week. And that's exactly how it happened. It was like 3 sales calls at the end of the week. Most of them paid in full. And it was just this turning point where I realized that I was actually onto something here and that I could help other entrepreneurs who are similar to me, you know, very sensitive, very intuitive, very open to unseen energies, you know, I realized, wow, I could support them to harness these unseen energies to create their own success. And it doesn't even need to be complicated.
I love that. I love that so much. And you said something so important. So back when you were doubting and pondering, and we get caught up in the logical and the pros and cons, but when you were faced with that kind of decision between the internship or coaching, what should you pursue and how to move forward? And you said, even though I didn't enjoy it, so you know that it's okay, the coaching, or should I stay with this internship even though I don't enjoy it? And that's where, when we make it practical, how we take action, right? Following those nudges and asking yourself, where is your excitement?
Yes.
Where is your excitement? Because is it coaching or is it internship? And you can make the pro and con list, but even though I don't enjoy it, and there's your answer. When you follow that excitement, how much it flows is crazy. And that's where you see, that's what you experienced, right? Things just moving so much faster with less action when, you know, compared to when you're following the shoulds and the things that don't really get you, you know, excited or passionate. And it feels like you're just taking action and doing all the work and hustle, but you don't move forward.
That's exactly what it felt like, actually, especially with the internship. It just felt like I could take 1,000 actions, but I was just exactly in one spot, no matter what I did.
Right. Following that excitement is so, yes, so important. And I also love what you said about holding the knowing. So when it comes to holding that knowing, the inner knowing, that you know what you're manifesting, you're connected with that vision, did you ever question, oh, this is nice and all, but is this energy thing really going to work? And how did you handle the doubt?
That's a very good question, because there was a lot of doubt. There was a lot of resistance, you know, there was a lot of that going on. And there was a lot of, you know, that's too good to be true. And how could you? And what I did find was that I had to work through some of those doubts. Like, I had to for sure look at them, because my thing when I'm manifesting too is sometimes I'll try to ignore the doubts because I'm like, well, that's not going to help me to manifest because that's a doubt. But what I found had really helped me to actually embody the knowing was facing the doubt instead of ignoring it and looking at it and being like, okay, wait, but is that true? You know, this is why I'm doubting it, but is that true? And then questioning the doubt, because what I then saw was how a lot of my doubts were just based on, you know, surface level belief systems that I had never questioned in my entire life. And they were being questioned for the first time. And that was really, that really opened up a lot of space for me to start thinking in a different way and to also embody a new energy, because these doubts that have always just kind of been autopilot, like, you know, you can't make that kind of money. That's not, you know, it can't be that easy. And all those beliefs that I just kind of took at face value, for the first time, I wasn't taking them at face value and instead was like, but is that true? And do I have to believe that? And do I have to honor that as my truth? And when I realized, when I actually asked myself that question openly, I realized, no, you know, I don't even know where these ideas around success being hard or success being for 1% of the population, or success being all about a certain set of action steps that you have to take, even if you don't like them. You know, I started to see how it didn't even make logical sense, actually. You know, why would doing something that you dislike lead to success? It doesn't even make logical sense. But because I had never questioned it before, that was what was creating my reality up until that point. The other thing that was really helpful for me too was, whenever I started to go into the doubt story, after I had already questioned the doubts, you know, and I'd already gone through that on a mindset level, I then committed myself to, every time that doubt would come up again, I would focus on, this sounds really funny, but the space between my thoughts. So I would kind of like shut it down and go into the heart consciousness. So I would, instead of focusing on all those thoughts and those what ifs and the, oh my God, and like, is this going to work? And this is crazy. I would just focus on the space between my thoughts and breathe and just be, which is something I'm much more used to doing now. But at that time was a really strange concept to just be, to just say to myself, okay, this is going to happen by the end of the week. And I'm just going to, like, instead of engaging in those doubts, I'm going to focus on the space between my thoughts. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to feel myself. I'm just going to be present. And I'm going to keep believing in this. And each time that doubt comes up, I'm just going to come back to my heart and my body. And I'm just going to keep believing this. And that's what I did. And then when it worked, it was like, it was actually overwhelming a little bit, because I realized how this was something that, yeah, is challenging, but anyone can do. Like, it's just a matter of really trusting yourself and helping yourself to get to that state of self-trust.
And that comes from such, what I think is one of the most powerful shifts, is just the courage of looking at your fears and looking at the doubts. And that's something I feel like it's a big misconception in the whole manifestation world. And we hear about, you know, you have to think positive and visualize and don't let the negative thoughts come up, because if they do, they're going to manifest, and you have to stay high vibe and all the things. And I feel like a lot of us can get so caught up in the staying high vibe all the time that we get scared of looking at the doubts, because doubts are bad. And fears are bad, and I don't want to manifest what I'm fearing. And there's so much noise around the, you know, you manifest what you're trying to avoid kind of thing. So you feel resistance, you feel doubt, and then you don't look at it because you don't want to manifest that thing. So you just pretend it's not happening and keep going. But that's also resistance.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking as you were describing that. I was like, so you build more resistance, and then you build resistance towards your resistance, and then resistance on resistance on resistance. And eventually, you know, that tense energy has to go somewhere. So it's just building up and building up and building up. And I've been through this experience too firsthand. You know, it wasn't always smooth sailing. You know, even after that successful manifestation, there was a lot of resistance that came from that, because then my brain was like, what did we just do? And this is just like, you know, it was kind of like it blew the lid off of my paradigm. Like, it blew the lid off my reality. So there was this resistance that came afterwards that I had to work through, that was very difficult, because there was sort of this battle of like, all right, I want to deal with the resistance, but also I don't want to manifest the resistance. So I'm going to ignore it. And I've been there too, where you're resisting your resistance, and then it just builds up and it builds up and it builds up, and you become sort of like an anxious wreck. Like, it's just very tense and uncomfortable. And it's really hard to be present. And that present moment awareness is so key to magnetism and to co-creating, but it's so hard to get into that state when you're carrying around all of this tension, because you don't want to look at yourself and you don't want to look at the darkness or the wounding. You just want to look at the light. And it just creates this sort of like manic manifesting intense energy that is actually, you know, just as harmful as what you think looking at your doubt is going to be for you, even though looking at the doubt is actually the medicine that you probably need in that sort of situation.
Right. And that's what you did. What you did was to look at these doubts and not getting caught up and letting it take over. But what if you could just look at the things we're fearing or resisting or whatever, and just look at them as thoughts, conditioning, programming, and kind of with that detachment, right?
Yes. Yes. I always call it going back to the seat. When I'm talking about this with my clients, I always say, like, come back to the seat of your soul, because from that place you can become the observer, and then you don't get caught on every emotional whim. You're able to actually look at what you're feeling and what you're thinking objectively. And in that place, you can start to see how, what's even more powerful is being able to separate the feelings and the thoughts from each other and start to see how none of this is actually objectively real. It's a constructed reality. You know, when it comes to the doubts and the fears and the limiting beliefs, it's just a constructed reality between your thoughts and your feelings being synced up together. But that doesn't mean that that's actually reality. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that it's so funny that you mentioned, because I just came from a Kundalini retreat in the north of Bali, and I had the craziest out-of-body experience there. Doing a deep Kundalini practice was amazing. I came back laughing and crying, and everyone just looking at me, oh, okay, let her do her thing. But what I saw, and it's crazy, it's weird to put it into words, but I went to a space out of this physical reality, out of this realm, whatever you want to call it. But it was so funny. It was funny. I came back laughing, crying, laughing so much because I connected somehow to this attachment. When you said coming back to the seat of your soul, that's the space that I connected with. So I could clearly see everything from kind of from a distance.
Yes.
And from far, from that seat that you said, from the seat of your soul. And looking at all the things and the details and the practical and all the things that we see here in this small physical experience. And it felt so funny. It was so funny that it was
so funny.
I came back just laughing, like, what does this mean even? You know, when you come back to that to the higher perspective and you can look at the challenges and the doubts and the things for what they are.
Exactly. And I love that you said laughter and funny, because that's usually when I'm in that state too. And this is something that I have to practice regularly, because I can get attached very easily, especially when it comes to success and goals. It's attachment is something that, you know, if I'm not disciplined, I can easily slide into. And I find that when I go into that state of detachment, it seems funny. Like everything goes from feeling so serious and like so heavy. And then when I get to the state of, you know, being in the seat of my soul and looking at it through the lens of my multidimensional soul, instead of looking at it through the lens of my ego human brain, it becomes funny and it actually feels light and you feel free. And it's funny that you mentioned crying too, because when I get into that lightness of being, my eyes often well up, and it's not even like I'm not even sure why my eyes are watering, but they will. And it's like all of the tension in my body just starts to flow out. Like my body just relaxes and the tears come out and things just start to seem kind of funny. Like, it's just like, why do we do this as humans? And why am I thinking this way? And that's really a powerful place to be, because from there you can transmute the energy, you can write a new story, you can really free yourself up to make new life decisions, because you start to see that all the seriousness and pressure and stress is really just a constructed reality. It's not objectively real.
What is the role of this physical experience when it comes to your entire existence? When you connect with that multidimensional consciousness and the fact that you are more than your body, flesh and bones, and you're more than what you're seeing here and the numbers and clients and things. Mm-hmm. And when you connect with that perspective, everything feels so small that's when you activate the flow.
Exactly. Exactly. That makes so much sense. And that's always when I'm feeling my best too, is when I'm looking at it from a bigger perspective, because then seeing it from that bigger perspective also allows me to honor the more micro perspective too. And then I'm able to enjoy being human, because, you know, being able to see life from a big multidimensional macro perspective, I've really started to see what a miracle it is to be a human. It's like you're experiencing the massiveness of the universe in a very slowed down, 3D form-based way that you wouldn't otherwise, without a human body and without being in this dimension, wouldn't otherwise experience. So it's actually such a unique experience, because you get to see the magnificence of source, of the universe, of the creator in a slowed down, like you're seeing it for the first time. You know, the human experience is really unique in the sense that everything that is so big and happens all at once, we get to see it happening as if it's separate from us, as if it's happening slower than it really is. And then we get to witness creation as humans in a way that, you know, as a higher being, you wouldn't witness it. I hope this makes sense, because this is kind of like,
it does.
Trippy,
this is so good. This is so good. And I guess the practical baby step, if we were to break it down and okay, what that looks like in terms of physical action, it's what you said about being present.
Exactly.
That's slowing down. What if you are just present? Because actually, now is all that is. And when we look at it from the quantum physics perspective, and there is no time and space, no past, no future, everything is just happening now. When you anchor yourself in the now, that's all it takes.
Exactly. And you know what I also want to add too about anchoring yourself in the now is what I have noticed from practicing this is that life is something that's always happening organically through us, not to us. And that's been a huge game changer for me too, with you know, establishing that feeling of detachment to my goals and not being attached to them is, you know, this understanding that what I'm going through is happening through me. I don't have to control it. And control has been a big thing in my life, but you really don't have to. And especially when you're in business, you know, it's so easy to be like, I need to be in control. I'm running a business. I need to make this much money. I got to be in control. But what I've really learned from being present is that we never are in control. This is a beautiful, you know, experience and life force and creative experience, co-creative experience that's happening through all of us. And none of us have control of it. We're just here to experience and learn from it. And I think that when, as a human, you let yourself off the hook from this idea that you're supposed to be controlling life and instead allow yourself to experience life, this really opens up the doorways for life to get good. Because really it's that control that's stopping you from having your best life. It's natural to have a good life. It's natural for life to happen through you and for it to be a pleasurable, joy-creating experience. Even our greatest darkness is only there for us to realize our greatest light. So even the worst, dark, heavy stuff is just light that has not yet fully manifested into its highest form. So it's all just about having joyful experiences at the end of the day, which sounds like almost too good to be true, but that's really what we're here to do, is to enjoy the experience of consciousness and the universe and to just really enjoy what it means to be a being. And when you realize that that's all you're responsible for, you can actually enjoy your business and bring your best light and your best energy into it, because it's not a codependent relationship anymore. It's not business, please show me how to have my best life. Please give me the money that I've always wanted. Please do things for me. It's, I'm a human enjoying my best life and letting life happen through me. And part of that is that I feel guided to make the world a better place through this unique business. And haha, here we go. And then you enjoy it. And it's through that joy that you're actually at your most magnetic anyway. And that's when you're attracting the most amount of clients and everything else that you desire from your life and business experiences.
So good. This is so important. I love this. And it's so powerful to just shift. Imagine how much your life and business can change if you look at your goals. You look at what you want to achieve. It can be an income goal, clients, a project, whatever you want to launch. How different would that feel if you ask yourself, what do I want to experience instead of what I feel like I need to create? What I want to be creating? Because we in the manifestation world especially, we can get attached to the things we want to create, the things we want to bring into the physical. And we step into the creator role that brings it, that it comes with attachment and it brings the control. So it's so powerful to shift from what do I want to create to what do I want to experience? Like you said, we're here to experience.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the only thing that we know for sure, that you could really say for sure without a shadow of a doubt, is that obviously just by how we are created, we are here to experience. You know, nothing else you can say without a shadow of a doubt. You could tell someone like, no, we're here to make money. Well, there's lots of ways you could question that sort of philosophy. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of philosophies that we all have as humans around what we're supposed to do and why we're here. But at the end of the day, at least from my perspective, when you boil it all down, the only thing that I can see that we are absolutely here to do is to experience, is to witness, is to learn, is to expand. You know, it's one very big, expansive experience, because the more that you become aware, the more that you expand, and the more that you expand, the more that your life experiences mirror that back to you. And then you have that life that you really want to be living. And I think that that's the big thing where, you know, where I want to ground my 5D teachings into more of a 3D way, is to remind people that success is not supposed to be this like rare thing that only happens to some lucky people. It is your natural state of being. You have a blueprint within you to live your best life. And it really just happens naturally when you are not resisting, not controlling. So it's actually a lot of the opposite of what you would think it would be to create success.
The real work is about allowing.
Allowing, yes, allowing. Exactly.
Instead of making it happen, it's just allowing what by default would happen. How am I blocking that? instead of wanting to achieve or chase.
Yes, exactly. I feel that the first, you know, the original sort of philosophy that I have to chase, I have to force, you know, that comes with the assumption that you are not meant to be successful. So therefore you have to make it happen because it's not something that you are naturally inclined to do or that you are not naturally designed for. And that's all very misleading belief systems because I very strongly believe that it's the opposite, that as human beings, we actually have strong potential, all of us, not just a select few. And that when we tap into that potential, which looks different for each person, you know, there's no limit to what we can actually do. And making success the norm and making it sort of a common sense thing is really where I love to bring my 5D teachings into the 3D is, you know, why does success need to be this strange, foreign, hard to reach thing? Mm. You know, why not make it common sense? Why not make it the norm that of course you're going to be successful and of course things are going to go well and of course you're going to experience joy and bliss? Why wouldn't you, you know?
Instead of expecting that to be the exception.
Yes, exactly. Like I have to control my circumstances in order to experience joy. But yet joy is our most natural state of being. So why would it be that complicated when it's our most natural state of being?
Hmm. And you talked about the attachment. And I know that that's something a lot of us experience. So how do you balance holding a vision? Let's say you want to manifest 5 clients, 5K, whatever it looks like. How do you balance holding that vision but at the same time, letting go and not getting too attached, you know, with that fear that it feels like you're giving up. If I just let go, if I'm not attached, it means that I don't really want it or that I don't care. And if I'm not actively visualizing, writing it down, working on it daily and really on it, that I won't make it happen. So how do you balance that?
Oh, this is such a good question because this is something that has been a personal journey for me too. Attachment has been the hardest part of creating my business this way. And usually whenever I had months that were not so successful, those were the months where I was attached, where I was like, I need this to happen because I need the money. And, you know, from that energy, of course, it did not go well. And what I have found is that for one, I always remind myself, you know, if you're truly in a state of embodiment that you know this is going to happen, you're not going to be attached to it because you know it's going to happen. Why would you be attached to something that you know is going to happen? So the attachment for me is like the red flag.
Something that you already have.
Yes. Yeah. So if I have the attachment, I'm like, that's the red flag that I haven't gotten into that state yet where it's a done deal, or else I wouldn't be questioning it or being attached to it. I think what sometimes people forget is that attachment is a form of doubt, really. You know, you don't doubt that the sun's going to come up tomorrow morning when you go to bed tonight. You know, there's no part of you that's like, I hope the sun comes up. Oh my God. Like if it doesn't come up, I can't go through that darkness for another 12 hours. Like that doesn't even cross your mind. You know, the sun's coming up tomorrow. That's just going to happen. So you go to bed and you relax and you receive and you have a beautiful morning. That's what I always remind myself and my clients too, is, you know, when you're in that state of embodying and knowing that it's already yours, there's no need for attachment. So if you're feeling a need to attach and a need to control, it's just a sign that you've got to go deeper into that practice and that embodiment of knowing. And I think the one thing to help with that is to remember that the whole concept that you have to control it in order for it to happen is just social conditioning. It's just a conditioned brain, but your heart knows differently. So my guidance is always that when you get into that state of attachment, to drop out of the head, because your head is just going to keep telling you it's conditioned to do this. It's just going to keep telling you, well, if you want it, you got to work for it. If you wanted it badly enough, you'd be doing more. You know, you don't seem to really be wanting it because you're not doing a lot of things. Mm. And then you get in your head and it's just a mess. So what I've always found works is to just bypass the mind. And it's sort of like what I said earlier, where you focus on the space between your thoughts instead of jumping to the next thought and letting it guide, you know, letting yourself get tangled in your brain. That's when I drop down into the body through deep breathing. And I anchor into my root chakra, you know, just get really seated in my body. And from there, the heart wisdom can really be felt. And that's usually, you know, when I'm breathing and just feeling my body, that's when I get that feeling in my heart of, oh yeah, I remember this. This whole path is all because I have, you know, a calling. Like this has been a dream of mine and I've come this far. And, you know, I wouldn't come this far to only come this far. And, you know, you, things start to make sense and it becomes so much easier to access that higher consciousness sort of thinking because you're not concentrating all of your energy in the brain. You're, you know, you're letting your body's wisdom support your mind. And that's when the more, I find that actually welcomes in healthier perspectives and realizations that I'm not even trying to realize. So I don't know if that makes sense, but the more I surrender into my body, that's when I get these aha moments or like I'll get a download and I'm like, whoa, oh, well, I never thought of it that way. You know, I've even had moments where I'm by myself and I say out loud, oh, that's a good point. And I'm like, just kind of talking to myself like a crazy person, but that's how potent it can be. And that always happens when I drop down into the body. And that's when my mind is able to work in a non-conditioned way. So that's kind of how I help myself with the attachment is A, seeing it as a red flag that, you know, okay, I haven't embodied it as a done deal yet. So how can I get into that knowing? And also just a reminder that it's, you know, any of this need for control is just conditioning. So how do I decondition myself? Well, I'm going to get out of the brain. I'm going to get into the body where I can, you know, sort of break out of that circuit, that electrical circuit, and create a new one instead.
Right, because it is happening already, even if that's not what your physical eyes can see right now. Exactly. Doesn't mean that it's not there.
Exactly, exactly. Because everything that you desire, I always say your desires, your soul desires. I mean, there's also, we have our fleeting desires, like things that we think we want, but we don't really want. But your soul desires are, in my opinion, they're gold. Like that's your guide to what is possible that you can't yet see. Otherwise, how as humans would we know what we're capable of if we didn't have desires? You can't see what you're capable of until you've stepped forward. And how are you going to even remotely, you know, step forward into the unknown and explore that if there isn't a desire? So the desire to me is the sign that, you know, it's like a calling forward. This is something that already exists. You wouldn't feel it in your body as a desire if it wasn't real. And so it already exists. It just hasn't physically manifested yet.
Right. I think we said that on Facebook recently. I don't know if it was your post or my post.
It was. But yeah, I think it was mine. Or vice versa.
quote that I think I shared that it was, you know,
yes.
Is this happening in my head? And then Dumbledore says, of course it is.
Oh,
why does
that.
It mean it's not real?
Exactly. Exactly. My favorite Harry Potter quote ever. Is literally, I think that's literally my favorite one is, you know, just because it's happening in your head, why does that mean that it's not real?
Yeah. So what would you say to the woman listening to this who loves the idea of creating from energy, creating from intuition, but is not seeing the results in the physical, the need from a physical evidence and then is struggling to trust?
Yes. Oh, that's a good one. So the one thing I would say is that trust is not an external thing. You know, if it wouldn't be called trust if it was, you know, believing that you have what you already have, that's gratitude. It's trust is believing that you have something that you don't yet have. So the thing I would say first and foremost is to remember to always trust yourself and to trust the path and to trust that you're not doing something wrong. Actually, that would be the key message that really wants to come through right now is you're not doing it wrong. You're not doing a process wrong. You're not running your business wrong. As long as you are doing what lights up your soul, as long as you are following your inspiration, you're not doing it wrong. It's very easy to tell yourself that you've got to change who you are. You've got to change your strategy or you've got to change something external. But usually when something hasn't manifested yet in the physical, it's not an external issue. It's that there's not enough focus and, you know, energy put into it yet for it to manifest physically. You know, it takes a certain level of energy and intention for anything in this reality to physically manifest. It's quite a, you know, quite a energy transfer. You know, it takes a lot. So there is usually a time delay in the beginning, especially when you're not used to doing this. You know, as you start to cultivate your own practice, it doesn't have as much of a time delay. But in the beginning, it's important to remember that your faith and your trust are not just fluffy concepts like, oh, just have faith, just hold trust. No, your faith and your trust, that's the energy that is going to manifest what you're trying to manifest, you know, because that's when you're putting your intentions into what you're trying to manifest, is when you have faith and when you're trusting and you're not controlling. So that faith and that trust is actually your power, and that's the vehicle through which you're going to see it happen. But you're not going to see it happen a moment before you believe it without a shadow of a doubt. So as soon as there's a part of you that's looking, well, it hasn't happened yet. Well, it hasn't happened yet. You know, again, that's another sign that you just haven't embodied that knowing yet. Otherwise you wouldn't be looking at how it hasn't happened. You know, if you know something's going to happen, you don't care. Like if you're ordering something at a restaurant, I know this gets used all the time, but you wouldn't check the kitchen every 10 minutes. Like, well, it's not here yet. Well, it's not here yet. You know, your meal's coming. You just don't know exactly when. And that's a huge thing too, that I think when it comes to creating success energetically, we want a timeline. We want to know when we want to have, and again, that's control. You know, we don't know the when, we don't know the how. Those are, that's the control. And those are the pieces that we have to learn to surrender. So my thing would be, ask yourself, how am I trying to control the outcome? And, you know, how can I bring more faith and more trust into the experience? And another way to reflect too is, you know, how would I be feeling differently, and how would I be living differently if it was already here, if it was already physically manifested? So when you catch yourself going, well, where is it? It hasn't happened yet. Switch it to instead, well, if it had already happened yet, what would I be feeling, and how would I be living, and what would I be doing in this exact moment if it was already here? And that kind of brings you back to the present moment instead of the future, and instead of tripping around, you know, future tripping and getting carried away. You know, it brings you to the present moment, and that's actually where you're your most magnetic anyway.
I love that. I love that. And I love the restaurant example. So even asking yourself, what if this was a restaurant and I just placed my order, how would I be waiting for my dish right now? Am I anxious? Exactly. Am I trying to rush? Am I doubting if it's going to come or when it's going to come? Or am I just here chilling, enjoying, waiting for my meal?
And I don't know if you've ever noticed, but I've gone through this many times where I'm waiting on something and it seems like it's taking forever because I'm checking on it.
Right.
And then as soon as I say, oh, you know what, I'm just going to distract myself, I'm going to relax, I'm going to do something else, And I take my attention away from the attachment and just enjoy where I'm at and what I'm doing, that's when all of a sudden it's ready. Like,
yeah.
You know, then boom, like whatever you're waiting on, whether it's your turn in line or whatever you're waiting for, or your computer is frozen and you're waiting for it to catch up and keep moving again. I've noticed that too. As soon as I surrender, the computer is not frozen anymore. Literally that exact instant. As soon as I flip into,
that's so true.
Well, you know, no rush. I know it's not going to be frozen forever. And then I get into this sort of body embodiment of my computer's working, and then it does. And it's always in that exact moment. So I've noticed that with a lot of things. As soon as you take a step back, that's when what you've been trying to manifest comes to you, because it's not really a try. Like, I think the harder you try, the more it actually kind of, there's that resistance. But the more that you surrender, the easier it becomes to have, you know, to have these things manifest, to have the clients and the success and the life that you desire, to have it actually manifest, is when you're at that relaxed, trusting state.
Amazing. This is going to help so many people. And one important question, where can we find you and what do you have coming up?
Yes. So my main, where you can find me is my website at quinndowney.com or Facebook as well. And what I have coming up is, right now I've actually been sharing my VIP one-on-one program. It's called Dream, and it is a program that is completely focused on everything that we've been talking about today. Actually, is, you know, understanding first of all your emotions, because emotions help you to understand energy. You know, I find emotions are a great bridge into energy work, because that's where you start to become used to feeling energy. And from there, being able to cultivate energetic sovereignty, and from there, being able to co-create the results that you desire in your business, you know, attracting the clients that you desire, and really bringing this, you know, first cultivating this sense of energetic confidence and co-creative confidence in yourself, and then bringing it into your business.
Awesome. Quinn, thank you so much. I loved this episode. I'm sure that everyone listening is going to love as well. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so wonderful chatting with you, and I just really appreciate it.
The Activate and Integrate Academy is enrolling. This is my signature group program and the most powerful container where members experience intense life-changing shifts. Because as you know, we work with energy. 5K after one session. Clarity and downloads for a complete rebranding. A lot of trust replacing the worries. The transformation in round one makes me so, so happy that I cannot wait to hold space for more of you. Second round starts on October 14th and applications are already open. You can find the link in the show notes and make sure you send your application as soon as possible because spots are super limited. I hope you loved today's episode, and if you did, please don't forget to take a minute and leave a star review or a comment on iTunes. I create this content from my soul to support yours, and this makes all the difference to help my message get out there and reach the people who need to listen. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you for being here, and I'll see you in the next episode.